podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned in to Three Questions and a Song, the podcast where the title says it all, except for it doesn't, because I can never keep it to three questions. This is episode, let me try that again, episode number 74. With me tonight is Jeremy from Five of Cups. There he is. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Awesome. So Jeremy and I go back, let's see if I can do this, probably about 19 years-ish.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's got to be, he was student teaching while I was subbing, and we kept running into each other.
Yep, back in the day.
You also, well, we won't get into that, but I'm pretty sure you taught at a school that I was subbing at for a few years in fourth grade. Yeah.
Yeah.
We won't mention.
Right.
So Jeremy, I'm going to start off with that cliche question and ask you where Five of Cups came from.
As a project?
Well, the name itself. How did you?
The name. All right. So it's, and I'm not like an occulty person or any kind of thing like that, but it's a tarot card that I always thought the concept of it was kind of interesting, because it usually represents things like depression and anxiety and loss and regret. And it's an image of a person standing kind of on the edge of the river, heads hung low, and they've got five goblets around them. Three of them are knocked over and they're spilled, and they're looking down at the three that are spilled and regretting what they've lost, to the point where they're not noticing the two that are still standing up behind them, the two full cups still behind them. And that little bit of imagery was always what kind of caught my attention. It was like, I like to focus in on those two that are still standing and kind of think of that side of things. So I picked it up from there.
Very cool. I try to stay away from the cliche questions and word them differently.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that I did prepare a few questions, which is not really like me. and of course, I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now. Give me 1 second. There
no
it
problem.
Goes. All right. So when I listen to the song that we're going to feature tonight, I definitely hear some 90s grunge in there. And I actually thought of a couple bands in the Pittsburgh area that would fit with what you're doing. Neostem, Crash Army were the first two that popped into my head, in case anyone wants to check them out.
Cool.
But who do you consider to be your biggest influences?
You know, they're kind of all over the place. I obviously, like you said, I came up in the 90s, learned to play guitar in the 90s and write songs. And so I've always really been into Nirvana and Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, Foo Fighters, any Chris Cornell project, all of his 50 different bands blow my mind, you know, Pearl Jam, all of that. But at the same time, I always like to try to mix that in with influences from all of the classic rock acts that I've always loved, Jethro Tull and Hendrix and Black Sabbath and the Grateful Dead, my favorite thing in the world, the Grateful Dead. You very rarely hear any of that leak through into my own music, I think, but the kind of influence is always somewhere there in the background.
Since you mentioned a whole lot of Seattle bands, we're going to skip ahead a little bit. I'm going to ask you the official build a scene question.
Oh boy.
So the quick story for anyone who's listening that hasn't listened to any of my shows in the past. This question is, who is your Dave Grohl? And it came about because all the time when I go to YouTube, no matter what I search on YouTube, Dave Grohl or the Foo Fighters end up in the right hand side and in that that auto playlist. Like I could search how to fix my dishwasher and Dave Grohl was going to be looking at me. So you see videos of Dave and the Foo Fighters on everywhere where right. They're interacting with fans and bringing people up on stage or having a drum off with Nandy, the 11-year-old drummer. And
yeah.
So my question is, what band would you want to go up on stage with and perform one of their originals?
Oh boy. You know, I think if I had the chance to do something like that, I might steer out of my own kind of sound a little bit and look at some of the storytellers, you know, like Hank Williams Jr., Willie Nelson, Dylan, Johnny Cash, Tom Petty. That's one. Tom Petty. I got the chance to see him live several times, a wonderful performer. And I love the sensibility that he had to be able to take a very, very simple structure and just write really great, simple, catchy rock and roll tunes. Yeah, I'd love to get on stage and jam with Tom Petty.
So I'm laughing, not at your answer, but like the bands you're mentioning and the musicians you're mentioning are, you know, they're who I listen to and who I grew up listening to, and very similar, except I'm doing you're performing music and I'm talking to musicians.
Well, it comes out differently for everybody, you know, but it all comes from the same place.
So if you, I'm already going off my script. If you were standing at the crossroads waiting for the devil or the demon, depending on which version of the story you hear,
right.
And you are going to sell your soul for something musically. What are you going to sell your soul for?
Oh boy. I'm going to pick one thing. You know, this is going to sound silly, but I'd stick another octave on the top of my voice. I would give myself that, because there are a lot of things that I would like to do that I'm just not able to get to. And it comes up a lot. It's a sticking point for me. I don't mind my range. I'm happy with it where it is. I'm happy with the size of it and everything, but I would love to be able to go higher.
If you could play in a venue that isn't normally considered a venue, an example I use all the time is Kiss played in the ocean to sharks, Metallica played in Antarctica. What is a place that wouldn't normally be considered a venue that you would like to play?
You know, I would like to play right in the middle of a national park in the Petrified Forest in Arizona. Was there a couple of years ago. They have a sort of, we were at the Grand Canyon as well, and then we went there, and they have sort of a smaller canyon you can walk down in, hike around in, play in there for anybody that happened to be visiting the park that day and strolling by. They could stop and listen to a few songs.
I am the first thing I thought of when you mentioned that, I was at, we went to New York City and we were at Grand Central. We were at, why am I blanking on the name of the
Central
park?
Central Park.
Thank you. We were in Central Park and we walked past a band that was performing in the park. And then there was a kind of like a tunnel area. And there was someone getting married right there. And then there was someone under the tunnel singing, just singing. No microphones, yeah. No nothing. But the acoustics were like amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cool.
That's awesome.
So moving on, in case you haven't noticed, there's like no segues. We just go with the,
I love it.
What would you say, got you started as a musician?
You know, when I was about 14 years old, I got my hands on a Yamaha, so a parlor size guitar, acoustic guitar that I still have now. I still play it every day. I keep it here in my office at home. And it's just a super fun guitar to play. And I didn't do much with it. It was sort of just around. And then I heard Nirvana for the first time on MTV. And me and my friends started listening and realizing, you know, this is something I want to try. This is something I think I could do. And learning, you know, taping the songs off the radios and playing along to them and trying to learn them by ear on this old guitar. And just trading licks back and forth and trading ideas back and forth with them. And it built and grew from there. I mean, I've sung for as long as I could talk. I've always loved music and everything about it. But the thing that got me really into making my own music, yeah, probably was hearing Smells Like Teen Spirit on MTV for the first time.
I remember the first time I heard that album. It was a cassette, for those of you that aren't of that age. My next door neighbor's grandson, who's like a year and a half younger than me, came over. They used to come over and play all the time. And he came over. He's like, you have to listen to this. And we're sitting on my parents' front porch listening to Nirvana. I don't know how old we would have been then. But yeah, that was definitely, we were sitting on my parents' front porch listening to Nirvana.
It was something, you know, it was something new out of the blue. Like I know in the music world, there were things leading up to that. And there were a million influences that went into it. But from the outside, you know, from the consumer living in the pop culture world side of things, it came out of nowhere, completely out of left field. It, you know, you went out and you bought a Skid Row CD or a Skid Row cassette and an MC Hammer cassette. And then 3 months later, all of a sudden there's Nirvana happening. And that's the next thing you're buying. And it changed everything for you.
If you could sit down with your musical idol and ask them one question, who would you sit with and what would be the one question that you were going to ask them?
I would have to talk to Jerry Cantrell, my favorite guitarist, definitely my guitar idol, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. And I would have to get him to show me how the hell he gets his wah pedal to sound the way that it does, because I try and I can do cool things with it, but I can't do what he can do with it. Nobody can. And I would love to see it in action and see where that feel comes from.
Do you know who Dave Hillis is?
I don't think I do.
All right. So I'm going to introduce you to him off the air a little bit.
Okay.
But he is a engineer, producer, and musician. And some of his early work can be found with those Seattle bands that you were mentioning earlier.
Ah, very cool.
And he's working out of a recording studio in Pittsburgh now.
Oh, very cool.
The Vault Recording Studio.
Yeah.
I actually have an episode. I think it's the Pennsylvania Rock Show that he was on. And I'll send that to you, and I'll link it for anyone who's listening in the show notes so you can check it out.
Yeah, please do. I'd love to give it a listen.
It may, you know what? I think it is actually three questions in a song episode, the more I think about it, but I'll link it and it'll have his name there. You'll be able to find it easily.
Cool.
Let's take a moment, and you're going to be not this, the way I phrase this doesn't always hit, because I'm talking to some younger people than us sometimes.
All right. Right.
So this is your MTV moment.
Yeah.
Do a little storyteller's thing and tell us about the song Simple Machines.
All right. So Simple Machines, I wrote the songs for Human by Design, this second Five of Cups album, I tried to expand things a little bit. I went further with the vocal harmonies. I tried to write more melodic guitar lines, do a lot of experimentation and with song structure and with dynamics and things, but there were still a couple of songs that came through the way I've always come through, and that went with, just like I was talking about with Tom Petty, that simple, catchy rock song dynamic that I love so much, and Simple Machines is that. It's a simple, catchy rock song. I think it's not a cliche. It's not like, it's not always what you expect. It's not cliche after cliche. It's not a throwaway song or anything. It's a creative original song, but it's kind of comfortable at the same time. It doesn't push you to want to enjoy, to you don't have to struggle to try to enjoy it. It's handed to you. Here's something fun for you to listen to. And it's a song about, you know, we run into so much with judgmental attitudes, people being judgmental, live the way I live, talk the way I talk, do this and do that, believe what I believe and dress how I dress and think the way that I want you to think. And it's a song that's just about learning how to not care about that at all. It's a song about learning how to let that just be noise in the background, just be yourself, not be impacted by all that judgment that goes on around you.
Cool. Right, so we're going to take a moment and listen to Simple Machines by Five of Cups. And we'll be right back with some more questions for Jeremy. So that was Simple Machines by Five of Cups. With me tonight is Jeremy. Jeremy, how do you say your last name? I think I know, but I don't want to mess it up.
It's Gabarine. When I taught, I would always tell the kids, it almost rhymes with tambourine. Just say tambourine and change the beginning of it.
Man, you remember like 5 minutes ago when I was saying that we're like parallel.
Yep.
So I tell my kindergartners that you say piano and Damiano.
There you go. Yep. So see, we've got musical instruments built into our names. Yeah, it's just in the blood, man.
Anyway. So if you know what, tell me, man, I'm just going to edit that. All right, here we go. So there's an apocalyptic event that happens.
All right.
And it wipes out almost all the people on the face of the earth. There's a handful of people left. And it also took out all but one song from every musician in the world.
Okay. Okay. I like this.
Which one of your songs will survive and help repopulate the earth?
I'm going to go on a little bit of a stretch here. One of the last songs on my first album called In 3D. It's a real slow chugging kind of heavy hitter of a song. It goes in a lot of different directions and does some interesting things. Lyrically, it takes you to some kind of dark places and stuff. But I think after making it through the apocalypse, you'd do well to listen to that song as you're getting pumped up to get things going again and keep slogging through. Yeah. 3D in 3D.
You're walking down the street and you come across the DeLorean with this door open and a flux capacitor in it.
Right on.
All right. Normally I don't add this part, but first you have to come knock on my door so I can go with you.
There we go.
Where are you going in time and what band are you going to hang out with?
All right. For that one, I'm going to pick you up and we are going to head back to about 1991. I heard a story recently, a producer being interviewed, and he talked about what it was like when he happened to be in a sort of small nondescript club in Seattle and be there to catch the first real time that, and since it's come up so many times already today, first real time that Smells Like Teen Spirit was played live by Nirvana, and what that experience was like for him and the other people that were there at that sort of unveiling of what would be such a big thing. So I think me and you will take a ride back in the DeLorean and check that show out.
I think that would be awesome.
All right.
That DeLorean comes up a lot. I'll ask questions in the other shows and they'll be like, do they have to be alive? And I was like, we have a DeLorean.
Yeah, right. There's no rules anymore.
What's a song that you did not write that you wish you would have written?
That's a good question. All right. A song that I did not write that I wish I would have written. There was a song on Beautiful People, a real slow kind of acoustic ballad song on Rusted Root's first big album, When I Woke.
So I was thinking Marilyn Manson when you said that.
No. The other, although they're both badass songs. Love them both. But I want to go. I wish I had written the Rusted Root Beautiful People. I wish I'd written either one of them. They're both great. I'll take either one.
That's just where I went. You said Beautiful People. I hear the drum and the.
Yep.
All right. Let's do two more questions if you're okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, what is your biggest hope for your music?
I'm not chasing anything. I left that behind a long, long time ago, and went the normal kind of family life route instead. And now that, that my kids are a little bit older and don't kind of need a lot of attention every day, and I have time to put back into this, it's given me a chance to go back and revisit it and see what I could do. Really, my biggest hope is just that the people who do happen to hear it enjoy some of it, you know, find a song they really like. I would love to have some people find a song they really like and have it be a song that I wrote. I think that is just awesome. Right now, between those two albums, about 40,000 times someone has streamed one of my songs online, and that blows my mind. You know, four times would blow my mind. It's just wild. But 40,000 times somebody's sat down and listened to a Five of Cups song, and I just love that. There's one cat up in a place called Wichendon Springs, Massachusetts. I can see them on the Pandora dashboard, and they listen. I have no idea who it is, and I will never know, you know, but there's this one person in this little town in Massachusetts that loves Five of Cups and listens all the time. And that is so, so cool to me. So that's what I want. You know, that's what I'm going for.
Well, here, I'm going to throw some more numbers out at you real fast. So buildascene.com gets about 37,000 unique visitors a month.
Woo.
For about 250,000 hits each month. So with that in mind, tell the listeners where they can find your music.
All right. You can get me at Linktree. I have a Linktree set up. So that's linktr.ee/ FOC Human by Design. Somebody already had just Human by Design, and somebody's got fiveofcups.com right now, and I'm waiting for it to expire because they're not using it. So the link there on the screen, linktree/FOC Human by Design. You're going to find links to all the streaming platforms on Apple Music, on Pandora, on Spotify, on Bandcamp, wherever you want to go. Find me on the social media. You know, hit me up there. We'll talk. Go share some music back and forth. I love to hear what other people are doing and support other independent artists, and always looking for more.
Very cool. I want to thank you for hanging out with me this evening.
Thank you for having me. That was wonderful.
And for those of you that are listening, thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget, when you're listening to the show on the streaming radio stations, don't go anywhere. Hang out. There's more independent and unsigned music coming your way. And if you're checking us out through the website or one of the many streaming podcast providers that are available, if I find it, I submit it.
Awesome.
Go check us out at buildascene.com and check out Five of Cups with that link, tr.ee, linktree/FOC, Human by Design. This has been episode number 74 of Three Questions and a Song. And I will catch you on the first. Oh, I almost messed up. What is your question for Corpse God?
Oh, okay. So for Corpse God, I've never found myself catching up on much death metal. It's not bad. It's just not a genre that I've ever found myself kind of smashed together with. So I got to listen to a little bit. I'm like, you know, this is pretty cool. I'm missing out on some stuff here. And so it got me thinking about crossing genres and listening to stuff you don't normally do and talking to folks you don't normally talk to and things. And I thought, okay, so what I want to ask them is, if you could invite a musician over for dinner, someone from a completely different genre, somebody you would normally, you know, not have any association with at all, who would that be?
I love that question. I may steal that for the show.
Awesome. All right.
All right. So now this has been episode number 74, Three Questions and a Song. We will catch you on the first, when Corpse God will answer that question.
Woo!
This episode of Three Questions and a Song has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more unsigned music from around the globe. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.